Today on More to Life, parenting with purpose. Do you have parenting questions? Want to raise happy, healthy, holy kids? We're going to share grace-filled strategies to help you be a more effective and confident Catholic parent. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy feast day to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, parenting with purpose. Do you got parenting questions? Want to raise happy, healthy, holy kids? We will share grace-filled strategies to help you be a more effective and confident Catholic parent. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're kicking off this second week of Advent with as we continue our Catholic Home Challenge. All of our subscribers and regular listeners to this program know that you know, in this Advent season, of course, we're called to make a little more room in our hearts and in our homes for Christ. And we're encouraging all of our listeners to look for those ways that we can bring Christ more meaningfully into our homes and experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes this Advent season. And so every day on the Catholic HOM app, Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches are giving subscribers resources and the support that they need to really take advantage of the grace of this season to have a more peaceful, loving, joyful, faithful family life by Christmas.
And I think that for many of us, that's one straw on the camel's back too many to hear. Yeah, this is a very busy, overwhelming time of the year for a lot of families, a lot of parents. The world has gotten busier. The activities for our kids have gotten crazy busy. Something seems to be scheduled all of the time. That on top of work, on top of babies, on top of all the things. And then we have to handle the holiday season, all the Christmas shopping, all the planning, all the baking, all the extra stuff. And that always ends up making everybody in the family, parents and kids alike, feel more stressed, have less bandwidth to handle it all. And then we're saying, well, make sure it's holy. And you're thinking, I'll get them to church on Christmas. I'll do it. But it's not supposed to be something that we just get through. And on the 26th, just collapse. This can be something that even in the crazy can draw your family together, can help you feel more peaceful and connected to God and each other, and can help your family discover more of their relationship with Jesus in a positive way and take that faith through their lives together, and as our children leave our homes later in life, keep their faith for a lifetime. If that sounds like a very tall order, you don't know where to start, you need a little help, we are here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, as you were saying, Lisa, you know, so, and especially in this time of year, sometimes keeping our family together feels like we're herding cats.
A little bit, yeah.
And if you've got questions, listeners, about parenting, family life, discipline, if you're wondering how you, your spouse, and your kids can come together to have a more meaningful faith and prayer life at home, if you'd like to figure out how to stop bickering or enjoy each other more. Or, you know, the reality is, you know, parenting doesn't end when your kids grow up. You know, maybe you've got questions about getting along with adult kids. If you've got questions about parenting at any age or stage, we've got faith-filled answers for you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what that is, and secondly, more importantly, how could it possibly help you be a more confident, effective Catholic parent and raise a happy, healthy, holy family? Well, you come to the right place. St. John Paul gave a series of reflections where he looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a healthier life and having holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation.
The theology of the body reminds us that working to build a strong, godly family is the most important way we can build the kingdom of God. The church tells us that families are the building blocks of society and the church itself. We often forget that building strong, loving, peaceful, joyful family lives is a ministry. We think that God wants us to spend all of our time saving the world, changing the culture, or engaging in politics. And those things are important in their place. But according to the church, the most important thing we can do is spend time building strong connections with our kids, loving our spouses, overcoming the challenges that make it hard to be joyful, godly, close family that works well together, prays well together, and enjoys spending time together. That is what the building of the kingdom of God really entails.
And it's hard work.
It really is.
You know, the theology of the body reminds us that each Christian family is called to be a brick that helps build and support the kingdom of God. But you can't build a civilization, much less a civilization of love, out of soft and crumbling bricks. The time we spend learning how to be better spouses, more effective Christian parents, build stronger, more healthy, faithful family lives isn't taking us away from the ministry work God's calling us to do. It is the most important ministry work we can engage in, especially as spouses and parents. You know, we can't raise faithful kids, and we're never going to build a godly society or a holy church, for that matter, unless we learn how to fill our homes with the warmth of God's love so that God can use our example to draw the world to him. You know, St. John Paul the Great reminded us the success of every other ministry depends first on Catholic families becoming what they are, witnesses to God's love and the power of his grace in the midst of a hurting world. If you've got questions about parenting, about family life, about passing the faith on to your kids, about having a relationship with your adult kids who are either struggling with you or struggling in their faith, let us help at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. It's tough being a parent in general, even harder being a Catholic parent in today's world. Research shows that we are losing 85% of our children by adulthood.
Think about that.
85% of kids raised in Catholic households will not be Catholic in adulthood. And that's a terrifying statistic, but we've done research that shows that there are answers. You know, as a church, we've been living with this problem for so long. Parents tend to kind of shrug and say, well, what can you do? I literally read an article from a very prominent Catholic woman who I respect very much, who wrote something on Family and Advent about Catholic parenting, and she said, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot. Literally, that was a quote. And that's how we feel about it. But the truth is, the research that we've done through the Center for Applied Research and the Apostolate at Georgetown looked at families that successfully raised all of their children to a faithful adulthood. And the good news is, they didn't just luck out. There are certain things that you can do that are not a guarantee.
Because we all have free will, and yeah, Satan can get into anything.
And there are no silver bullets, but these practices can be taught to any family. And they can help you not just increase dramatically the likelihood of you raising kids who will be faithful adults, but have a happier, healthier, more joyful, loving, faithful family now. and make parenting easier and more enjoyable. Let us help. 877-573-7825 is the number. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you with all of your questions about parenting and family life. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls and questions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you our families, our children, our marriages, and we ask you, especially in this Advent season and on this feast of the Immaculate Conception, to pour out your grace into our hearts and homes so that we can do the ministry work that is building strong, godly, loving marriages and loving, close family lives. Help us, as Catholic parents in particular, to enable us to help our children experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes, to see your love reflected in our eyes, to experience households that are more peaceful, more loving, more joyful because of our faith. And households that can be a witness to the world of the power of your grace in our families. Make us confident, effective Catholic parents who are able to build your kingdom by building strong marriage and family lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Parenting with Purpose, as we talk about just parenting questions and questions about Catholic family life. And whether you are dealing with an infant or a child who is younger, a school-aged child, a teenager, or an adult child, and you've got questions about parenting at any of those stages, we are here to help. That number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rachel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi, Rachel. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi, good morning. So my question is regarding how to raise a child as Catholic. I'll give a bit of detail regarding my particular circumstances. I converted to Catholicism in 2021, was raised as a radical, liberal, feminist, you know, the whole thing. That's kind of where I'm coming from. That's where my family is. I'm the only Catholic. I had a daughter in 2023 who was born out of wedlock. Her father was also Catholic. We have since separated due to abuse that was going on.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I have no idea how to raise my daughter Catholic. I'm trying to pray with her. And it's the most important thing to me would be that she maintains the faith, especially with, you know, not having that father figure in her life, as he has decided to step out since I would not marry him. So I'm trying to heal from that and that abuse that happened in that relationship, while also make sure that she grows to love God and love Jesus, and how I can be a living example of his love to her.
Sure. And Rachel, remind me again, because I'm trying to do the math in my head. How old's your little girl now?
It is almost 15 months old.
15 months old. Okay, so let me tell you this, Rachel. A, you're starting early. God bless you. This is wonderful. And B, you have so much wisdom to give your daughter. Like, Rachel, just take a moment and a deep breath and give yourself a hug and know God's hugging you. You gave life to this little girl. You got her and yourself out of an abusive relationship and didn't settle just because this guy said he'd marry you. You want to raise her faithfully, and you're living a faithful life yourself, and you've discovered a personal relationship with God in your faith. Lady, you're doing all the things. I am so impressed with you, and just give yourself a hug for doing all these really hard, beautiful, miraculous things, please.
So we're going to give you some practical guidance here as well, but I want to second everything that Lisa was just saying. I mean, honestly, you have a beautiful heart, and it's a real witness and an encouragement to me to hear from moms like you, and thank you for being who you are, walking the walk that you're walking, and for having such a beautiful heart for raising your daughter to be a faithful young woman.
Super impressed.
Okay, so some simple things. Now, the research that we've done, as I mentioned, we did a study in 2023 through the Center for Applied Research and the Apostolate at Georgetown University, where we looked at the general population and, you know, how effective are Catholic parents in general at raising faithful kids. And unfortunately, the answer is not very effective. As we shared, only about 15% of kids raised in Catholic households grew up to be faithful Catholic adults. But we also looked at families that successfully raised all of their kids, whether it was two kids or 10 kids, to a faithful adulthood. And we looked at, well, what do they do? And the, you know, the answers that came out of this study were kind of surprising, because all the stuff that people are told to do tends not to be all that effective. It's not that it isn't important. It's just not necessarily going to stick unless certain other things are in place. Because everybody hears, you know, send them to Catholic school. Make sure you're going to church every Sunday. And, of course, you need to make sure that you're going to church every Sunday and on holidays, and at least that, right? And participating in the sacraments in general. Send them to youth group. You know, all those kinds of things that we hear are the path to a faithful adulthood for kids. The problem is, as important as those are, and they are important,
vital.
And in fact, in the case of regular Mass and sacramental attendance, that's, you know,
that's the be-all and end-all.
That's the whole thing.
Yep.
It's the whole Megillah. But for those things to stick, our kids need to be experiencing the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes. Let me unpack that a little bit. It's not enough to have a faithful home where you guys, you know, pray together and do religious things. It's not enough to have a warm home where you're just, you know, warm and affectionate. The kids have to see how the faith is contributing to the warmth and the affection and the closeness in the home.
Now, let's just pat you on the back again, Rachel. You made an active choice to give your daughter a faithful, warm, loving home. You turned down this man who was abusive, who would never give her that kind of home. So you're praying with her already at 15 months. You want her to feel safe and loved. You are on the right track right now.
So we identified 12 habits that these families engage in that cultivate that sense of the faith being the source of the warmth in the home. I want you to keep doing what you're doing right now. Start with praying with her every day, asking God to help you be the mom that he wants you to be, and to help you guys be the family that he wants you to be. When you hug her, you know, make the sign of the cross on her forehead, and as she gets a little older, let her know that that's because as much as you love her, Jesus loves her even more. Look for ways to create strong rituals of connection for working and playing and talking and praying together every day. Those four things, because it's in living those habits out of working and playing and talking and praying in little ways together every day that you witness to how Christians approach all the stuff that people do. Look for little ways to not just care for her, but as she gets a little older, teach her to care for you and for others as well, so that you can develop that sense of mission and that idea that service is a really important part of Christian discipleship. You know, all the little things, you know, St. John Paul said that it's the family where we learn how to first be evangelized and to live as Christian disciples. And if the family's not doing that work, then nothing else sticks. And that's what the researchers really found. I would really encourage you, just because we have to go to our break here, I would love to see you become a member of the Catholic Home community. Download the Catholic HOM app and subscribe, because you can learn all about those 12 habits, and not just learn about it, we'll support you every day in living it out. You know, Lisa and I are on there. Our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches are on there. The app isn't about counseling. It's about coaching and supporting. But we also provide tons of resources, podcasts, downloadable activities, a whole community of support of other families who are doing this.
We make it super easy and support parents all the time on really doing what you want to do and what you have such a good sense of already, Rachel.
So you're always welcome to call us back here, or you're always welcome to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But if you want that daily support to do what you're talking about and keep doing the good things that you're doing and build on it, I'd really encourage you to become part of the Catholic HOM community. We'd love to see you there and support you every day. Again, you have a beautiful heart. You get a beautiful sense of mission for your daughter and for your family. And I'm just so inspired by what you shared with us today, and we'd love to keep walking with you on it. So
thank you so much for your call, Rachel.
And we hope to see you at Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. All right, we got to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about parenting today on our show titled Parenting with Purpose. Do you have parenting questions? Questions about building a healthier, happier, holier, more faithful family life? Doesn't matter whether your kids are infants or adults, we want to help you be a more effective, confident Catholic parent and have a great relationship with your kids. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Parenting with Purpose, as we talk about addressing parenting questions, talking about raising a healthy, holy, joyful Catholic family, and especially taking advantage of the grace of the Advent season to create more space in our hearts and homes for Christ in this season. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I appreciate being here.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, this holiday season, you know, Advent, Christmas, all of it. You know, it kind of throws parenting off and our kids' moods and schedules off. How can we be more effective in this time of year?
It's a really good question, and I think one of the first things we can do is to slow down and ask it, because I think so many of us are flying by the seat of our pants, trying to just go with whatever the urgency instinct is telling us to do, is telling us is the next thing that we have to just check off and get through it, and sure, most of us are not really pausing to question, hey, what's a more effective way to do this? What would working smarter, not harder, look like? Until sometime around January 12th, right? So pausing, pumping the brakes a little bit to ask myself the question is the first thing. But the second thing, and perhaps the more meaningful thing to ask myself is what I'm doing serving relationship? You know, before the break, you were talking about this notion that faith, in order to stick, has to be the source of warmth in the home, right? And I think so often the things that we do around the faith and around Christmas in terms of cultural celebration can end up being a sort of quota list that I'm trying to meet. Well, we've got to do this thing because that's the thing that we do. And the kids got to do this play because that's the thing that we do. And, you know, this kid has to be at this mass, but the other kid has to be at that mass. And then we have to bake cookies at this time. And we have to, And all those things are wonderful things. I'm not knocking any of those things. But to do them because we think we're supposed to, or because we've never really stopped to question if they're even something that we, you know, want to be doing, or if they, you know, are things that serve our family, is to, as I think Christ puts it, babble as the pagans do, right? When the disciples ask him, you know, Master, teach us how to pray, he says, do not babble as the pagans do. Instead, when you address God, address him as our Father, and then he goes on to teach, you know, the rest of that prayer. And I think what he's speaking to there is this impulse most of us have to just kind of do things and ramble, as opposed to starting off with relationship, you know, as he represents starting off addressing God with our Father.
So if I'm understanding you properly, I mean, I think that the question as parents we all need to be asking this season is, you know, is this thing that we are doing, have always done, are going to be doing, is this leading to a warmer, more loving household? And if not, either how could we change it up so that it could be, or how could we change it up altogether so that we can do the stuff that would lead to a more warm and loving household? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to refer to that, because I think even bringing in the members of your family to that conversation is really important. You know, to be able to say to your child, for instance, hey, is this thing that we're going to be doing for you, is that something that would make you feel loved? Is that something that would make you feel close to me, or close to your sibling, or close to your, you know, other parent, right? Asking your spouse, even in terms of buying gifts, asking these questions. What would really make you feel uniquely loved this year? Those kinds of relational questions are really good for our discernment, and they stop that kind of flying by the seat of my pants thing.
Jacob, I want to thank you for being with us and posing that really thought-provoking question. You know, what are the things that we could do this Advent and Christmas season that would actually help us enjoy each other as a family instead of just doing the same old things to check off the list? If folks would like to learn more about Jacob's good work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. Of course, we're taking your calls right now about parenting and family life at 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We're living in such a divisive country right now. So much cancelization on social media, so many attacks, so much vitriol. Not to mention, people may be concerned for their own safety, because it's been shown over and over again that people do not want to hear a different opinion, and some can get violent with it. So they're scared. Results from every generation reveal a double-digit gap between what people are willing to say publicly and what they think privately. So while about 1 in 4 Americans say they trust the media, only about 1 in 14 truly trust the news they're being fed. It looks like a lot of people are in line with those of us who also distrust the media, and more than we even realize, according to this latest report.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
How best to express ourselves to God? Our prayer takes flesh, says the Catholic Catechism, when we use mental or vocal words to talk to God, who speaks to us through His Word. Our heart must be involved in prayer. We must be present to Him whom we are addressing. Whether or not our prayer is heard depends not on the number of our words, says St. John Chrysostom, as the fervor of our souls. Vocal prayer is essential to the Christian life. Jesus taught the perfect vocal prayer, the Our Father, to his disciples. He prayed aloud the liturgical prayers in the synagogue. He also prayed aloud personally, exultantly praising the Father, as well as expressing his agony in Gethsemane. Vocal prayer fits the needs of our human nature. We are body and spirit, and this need corresponds to a divine requirement. God seeks worshipers in truth and spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. St. John Bosco is an important saint for Catholic families. Although he wasn't a parent, he was renowned for being a compassionate Christian teacher and the founder of a religious order dedicated to helping and educating children. At the time, people believed that children were little better than animals who responded only to physical punishment and harsh correction. One day in prayer, St. John Bosco received a heavenly vision where the Blessed Mother told him that children should be corrected not with blows, but with sweetness and charity. Deeply moved by this vision, Bosco developed an approach to discipline he called the preventive system, in contrast to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of his day. He taught his followers that even the most willful, defiant children would offer their heartfelt obedience if they were treated with love and respect. And not only did his approach work, but it raised a saint. His student, Saint Dominic Savio, is often called the first fruit of the preventive system. To learn more about Saint John Bosco and his preventive system, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Parenting with Purpose. Do you have parenting questions? Looking for ways to raise a healthy, happy, holy family. We want to help you, especially in this Advent season and on this feast day of the Immaculate Conception, to take advantage of all the grace that God is pouring out to create more space in our hearts and our homes, especially to experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes. But what does that mean, practically speaking? How do we do it? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Anne. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. So I have a 17-year-old son. He's the second of our kids. And
how many kids do you have altogether?
I have eight.
Okay. So, and they go from, what, like 19 down to what?
19 down to two.
Okay.
Okay.
So we have raised all our family, the way my husband and I do it, is generally in the principle of what you guys have been talking about. We work together, we pray together, we play together. Mm-hmm. This child of ours, since he's turned about 15 or 16, my husband thinks he's been on this trajectory for a while. He's seen just kind of signs of just dishonesty, not wanting to work very hard, and not very good integrity. So I guess my question is for you.
What does that mean practically? Before you get to that question, let me. When you say that, though, those are sort of, you know, big concepts. Give me an example of what his lack of integrity looks like in practice.
So
it might be something he does.
Okay, so if my husband was asking him to help paint the house the other day, mm-hmm. and we have lead-based paint because we have an older house, so my husband just asked him to put on a face mask that has the venters to keep, you know, any chips or whatever from getting it. Well, my son went and, I guess this is more like dishonesty, but he went and took the vent out without my husband knowing it so that he didn't have to do it his way because he thought it was ridiculous. He's always, my husband will put down rules that he knows will keep him safe. My son enjoys welding. And mm-hmm. so my husband has said, these are the rules that you need to follow it to weld. And my son will not always, or when he is working on vehicles, he has to wear kind of a cover suit to keep the grease off of his clothes so that when he comes in the house, he doesn't get it all over the furniture. If my husband is not around or there to make sure that he is following through, my son won't wear the suit. So I guess those are some examples. That's an example of integrity, just not following through with what has been asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of answer that question?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And then you also mentioned to our screener that he's struggling in his faith as well.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, he will not pray with us during family rosary or, you know, prayer before
what
meals.
What does he do? He just disappears or he just sits there?
Well, mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. have asked him, you know, when we pray, you have to be present.
Okay. Well, that's good.
What happens if you tell him to lead it? What does he do?
He does lead it, but he races.
Okay. So what kind of, have you talked, so I guess everything you're saying here says to me, this is not some, I mean, that he's saying something to you through his behavior, right? He's saying, well, I don't know what, but he's communicating irritation or frustration about something, right? And so the next step, I would say, would be having the conversation where you're saying to him, look, you know, I know I get on you about these things. I know you think I'm crazy, all right? But, I'm wondering, you know, you seem like you're frustrated with me, with God, with the family. With, you know, it seems to me
there's
something going on here that you are trying to say something to us, you know, in the way that you're responding to, you know, like not wearing the suit or not, you know, not wearing the ventilator or, you know, the rushing through the prayers, like all these little things you're saying. I don't believe you. I'm mad at you. I'm frustrated with you. And try to get beyond the superficial thing. Like the first team might just say something like, well, I just think it's dumb that you're making me wear the mask, you know, or I think it's dumb that you make me wear the, you know, the suit so I don't get greased.
But that's not a real answer.
That's the superficial thing. It's like, okay, yeah, I get that. I understand that. But it's more the attitude, right? Because if you felt good about me, you'd roll your eyes, but you'd do it anyway. I mean, the fact that you're not doing it and you're being sneaky about it and you know you're rushing through things and you're doing things that you know will irritate us says to me that you're mad at us about something. And I want you to be a grown-up, mature man enough to be able to come to me directly and say, this is what I'm upset about, Mom. This is what I'm frustrated about, Dad. So we can work through it together instead of all this kind of passive-aggressive nonsense that you're doing. I promise you, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm willing to hear what you have to say, but you got to use your words because you're 17 years old and I can't guess what's going on in your head. You know, obviously you're irritated with us, with God. Obviously you're frustrated about something and you're just screaming it out and all these little petty things that you're doing to annoy us. And it's not just, you know, I'm not coming to you because I'm annoyed. I'm coming to you because I want to understand what you're upset about, what you're frustrated about, and what we can do together to fix it. Because this is not the kind of relationship I want to have with you. I love you, and I want to work this out. And if he's not used to you guys talking to him that way, he might not know what to do with that the first time. So you might say, well, look, we're not letting this go. We need to figure this out. So you take some time and you think about it. We're going to come back again and talk about it tomorrow. And then we're talking about it again tomorrow. Like we're going to keep bringing it up until we work this out. Because you just keep reframing it to him. It's like, this is not just you being disobedient. This is not you lacking integrity. This is you telling us that you're mad at us about something. You're frustrated with something. You're having a hard time working through something. I don't know what it is, but it's something, right? And I want you to really start thinking about this, not just as him misbehaving or lacking in character. He's saying something, and this listeners, you know, kids say things through their disobedience, especially teenagers, right? It's not always clear what they're saying, but the only way to really solve the problem when the front line kind of, you know, consequences and corrections and lectures don't work is to look at the relationship and say, what is this kid trying to say to me about how he feels about me, about this relationship, about his life? And what is he trying to say to me through this behavior, and how can we work through that together? Because unless you address that piece, you could pile on the consequences till the cows come home and won't make any difference. But if you do this, it's going to not just lead to a more compliant kid, it's going to lead to a kid that you have a better relationship with and who's willing to kind of follow your lead, because not just out of duty, but because he really loves you. Now, you know, it's easy for us to say this. We've only got, you know, 5 minutes maybe with you on the air, and I apologize. I wish we had more time. But if you're struggling to figure out where to go with this, or you try this, and, you know, I hope it works. I hope this is all it takes, right? And let us know if it does. But if you're struggling, I'd really encourage you to either jump on the Catholic HOM app, because subscribers can ask all the questions they want every day and get coaching, get the resources they need, or you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for more personal, you know, pastoral counseling support. But start with the suggestions we've made here, because I really think that you've got a great heart, you've got a lot of good instincts, but you just need a little support to get over this hump.
Absolutely. And I will say this, Anne, I know with the number of children you have, the busyness of your life, the fact that it's the holidays, you might have a tendency to say, well, I'll handle that in January. I'll handle that later. don't wait, because he's 17. And once he's 18 and he can do anything he wants and live anywhere he wants and all of that stuff, you're going to have a harder time. And he will actually use the excuse then, I'm an adult now, I don't have to listen to you. You really want to get to what's the underlying thing and how do we heal this now? And I'm really glad that your instincts are telling you that. I think that's the Holy Spirit. So please follow the Holy Spirit's promptings in this situation.
And thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again or through CatholicCounselors.com. Or I really do think that the Catholic HOM app would be a great resource for you in just kind of coaching you through these little challenges.
That way, every time it comes up or he gives you an answer you can't make, you know, your way around, you can just get on the app and ask another question about it.
And since we're talking about listeners, I'm hesitating because I would say this. I'm not just trying to sell subscriptions to this app. This resource. The fact that we're losing 85% of our kids breaks my heart.
It kills us.
We're blessed to be able to say that all of our kids are adult, faithful, passionate Catholics. And I want that for you. And the research that we did provides some real answers for what it takes to raise godly, faithful kids. And God has placed this on our hearts to share this with people. So if you are passionate about this like we are, and you want the support and the community and the resources to help you pull it off, I really do hope that you'll become part of the Catholic HOM community by subscribing to the Catholic Home app. Because
so we
there
can
isn't
be there
anything
for you
more
all
important
time.
For the future of the Church,
for our children's, souls, and the well-being of our families.
And for our own sense of satisfaction, to know that we're doing everything we can do to raise the next generation of faithful kids. And we want to support you in doing that. So we hope that you'll be part of the Catholic HOM community. Download the Catholic HOM app today. And with that, it's time to go to break, and it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15.
Choose today. Will you serve the Lord or the gods of the people in whose country you are dwelling? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
And I know you all feel that way. If you're tuning into Catholic radio, you have that on your heart. But the reality is, living that way in today's world is harder than ever. And the good news is there are ways, simple ways, to make the faith the source of the warmth in your home. And we want to support you in doing that. Call in now, and let's ask those questions at 877-573-7825, or join us in the various resources we offer to support you in living that out. We'll be back with your calls about parenting with purpose today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise is more popular than ever. Every year, couples testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. The 2026 cruise is already three-quarters full, so if you want to join, now is the time. Special guests include musicians Andrea Bocelli, Matt Maher, Sarah Kroger, and John Ignatie, as well as hosts from Ave Maria Radio. Fun, romance, devotion. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Parenting with Purpose, as we talk about raising godly, faithful, healthy, happy kids and creating homes where the faith is the source of the warmth in them. If that sounds appealing to you, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you. I want to ask a question about my adult son who does not practice Catholicism anymore. I had him when I was 16. I married his father, and when he became abusive, I left him. And then I later returned to the faith and was confirmed myself, which I hadn't been. And I had my son baptized when he was 9, just a few months after that. I wish I'd known about restored order back then, but I didn't. But my marriage to his father was annulled. I remarried to a man who converted to Catholicism before we got married so he could receive the Eucharist at our wedding mass. But my ex-husband continued to sort of cultivate a relationship with my son based on vilifying me. And before he and his wife were married, my ex-husband allowed them to live together with him for a time. So they're much closer to his father than to me. As he grew into adulthood, of course, you know, you distance yourself from your parents, but that also meant distancing from the faith, or it might have been distancing from the faith, which meant distancing from me because it's a very important part of my life. She won't even allow a crucifix in their house. She blames
she being them. Your daughter-in-law?
My daughter-in-law, sorry, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she won't allow a crucifix in the house. I brought one that I purchased at my parish from the Holy Land over to them. It's very small. I thought maybe they might be able to find some place for such an object in their home. And she blames a lot of behaviors my grandson started exhibiting on this object being in their house, and a friend of hers who used to be Catholic saged their house saying that this crucifix was a mockery of Christ. But okay. I don't want to be pushy and interfere with however the Holy Spirit's approaching this, because I do believe he wants us all there. You know, God is calling us all to him all the time, and
sure,
I don't want to interfere.
So, but your question is, I mean, there are a lot of ways we could go with this, so what's your question specifically?
What could I do other than pray is my question.
Well, build your relationship with your son as much as possible. So here we have a tendency as Catholics to overlook or underestimate the importance of a strong, loving relationship, both in terms of just, you know, being a good thing, but in also in terms of passing on the faith or being able to share our faith with our kids. We have a tendency to think that, you know, that's nice, but the really important thing, you know, is getting them to put this crucifix on the wall. You know, the really important thing is to get them to church on Sunday. And I'm not saying those things aren't important. Of course they're important, okay? They're meant to be a sign of the kind of relationships that we want to have with God and each other. And if I can't model that relationship, then our kids, especially our adult kids, don't have any context for why the sacraments are important or why that crucifix is important. When I look at the crucifix on my wall, it reminds me of the kind of sacrificial love that I'm called to live out with my wife and with my kids. If I don't have that perspective, putting something up on the wall doesn't mean anything. You know, when I go to Mass and I receive communion, I'm grateful for the incredible gift that God has given me, showing me how much He loves me, and then compelling me and giving me the grace to love my wife and my kids that much too.
Well, because we, you know, when we receive communion, we are supposed to be fully understanding this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, and he's empowering us to live like him and be close to him and to love others with his love. They're not in.
But if I don't have that perspective and I don't have that experience, then going to Mass is just, why are these weird people standing around doing these goofy things? Right? It's a very different thing. So I'm not saying that your focus on the religious dimensions of this problem aren't important. They are absolutely important. And I want your son and his wife and your grandson to be in full communion with the church and with you. I want that for you. I want that for every family. But it's got to start with healing the relationship between you and your son, and between you and your daughter-in-law, because if really looking at, and when I say healing the relationship, I don't mean you need 20 years of therapy. I just mean they need to start experiencing you in whatever ways they can, in whatever ways you feel are appropriate, as a supportive resource in their life, emotionally, most importantly, temporarily, however they can, you know, they can where they, get them to the place where they can look at you and they, you know, they might roll their eyes and say, oh, Maria, she's just so religious. What a whack job. Okay. But she's got such a good heart and she's always here for us. You know,
and
we know that we can count on
that
her.
Begins to be, oh, wait a minute, she's really always here for us and she really loves us and we have a really good friendship with her at this point. So maybe she's not as wacky as we thought she was. Maybe this really is coming from a real place from her and from her, you know, her husband at this point. They're really loving, kind people who really are there for us.
You
and
know,
our child, our grandchild, their grandchild.
When
you
your
know?
Son, you know, can feel comfortable reaching out to you and like, you know, yeah, mom's religious, but she's really a good listener, and she's a great support, and she doesn't lecture. She just really hears me, and you know, and I really feel good reaching out to her. That's what's going to let the Holy Spirit start using that relationship to touch their hearts, right? And that's what it's going to take. In order for faith to happen at all, but especially for faith to thrive, our kids especially need to experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our relationships with them. So there's a lot more you can do than just pray. And when you know, when we say that, what I'd like you to do is start by praying, Lord, help me to be the mom that they need me to be. Help me to be the grandmother that they need me to be. Help me to be the mother-in-law they need me to be. Show me how I can be appropriately supportive to them, loving to them, how I can begin to heal some of the damage that's been done over the years to our relationship. Just help me see this, because and Maria, I want to be clear, I'm not blaming you for any of this. I recognize that your ex-husband and the situation that you were in, you know, that you're he alienated your son.
He frightened your son. And here's the thing, you made some really good choices along the way. You've married a man in the Catholic Church. You're living your faith more. You're making those really good, positive choices in your life, and that is beautiful. But your son is still living in some of the woundedness of his early childhood. And he needs to be able to see as an adult, hey, mom is really somebody that I can admire for how she changed her life after what we went through with my dad, that I can trust her and I can count on her, so that he can begin to heal some of those old childhood wounds.
But as you're praying about it, okay, even if the wounds aren't your fault, even if you never did anything wrong, okay, even if you never did anything that your son found hurtful or offensive, even if it was all your ex, God can show you how to begin to make inroads here. And that's how I want you to pray about this. Lord, show me how to be the mom he needs me to be at this point in his life, the mother-in-law that I can be in at this, you know, that my daughter-in-law needs me to be at this point in my life, the grandmother that my grandson needs. Show me how to be that sign of your love in their lives, so that I can, at some point, begin to bring them back to you through the love that they are experiencing from me, and how that love is different from love that they experience anywhere else. Maria, it seems like a big job, I know, and I'm sure that you feel a little overwhelmed with this, but I really encourage you to make that your prayer every day and look for those ways that you can be that supportive, loving connection. The stronger you build that, the more the Holy Spirit can use the relationship and you to lead them back to the fold. Thank you so much for the call. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. And, you know, if there's anything I want you to take away from this, it is, again, this idea that the faith has to be the source of the warmth in our homes for all the other religious stuff that we do to stick. Focus on that. Ask yourself, especially in this Advent season, how could we make our home reflect that principle? And if you're struggling, if you need help, if you need support, if you need resources, please join us at the Catholic HOM app. Become a subscriber today and get the support, the coaching, the resources, the community that you need to make this happen so that your kids can be part of that 15% that grows up to be faithful, happy, healthy, holy people. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.